I'd like to just bring to the attention of devotees, wherever they may be, and this is particularly for devotees with children, the books that were recently produced and I recently saw from Mother Urmila that were called Dr. Best's Learn to Read. And they're a very progressive reading method with, anyway, I'll explain the kind of technology that's behind it. And there's a set of books, I believe that there are 38 books altogether, and therefore in three orders from children between the ages of 3 to 8. Devotees with parents will know the first thing is teaching children how to read and read in English. These are beautifully illustrated books. They use a computer. Well, they use some kind of special system where within the pages, what's written on the pages can be heard. I'm having difficulty explaining it because first time I ever saw it. Really amazing. There's a little pen, a computerized pen that reads in, I don't know how many different languages, 15 different languages, 20 different languages, reads what's written on the paper. You just touch this pen to the paper and it will read what's written there. And then the persons also in the paper, the illustrated persons, they also speak. It's so, of all of these languages, Polish, Hungarian, and Hindi, and so on, children of those languages can actually learn what is being written in English, so they can learn how to speak English, they can learn how to read English, and it's done in a very, very Krishna-conscious way. The books are really, really beautiful. They're, I think, a phenomenal contribution to our children's growth and development. I think that they're a little underpriced. They sell it, the whole set sells for 3 times £85, or according to what age group we're talking about, they're £85 each. And the three boxes altogether are £65. So if you've got more than one child or many children, and or if you don't know how to read yourself, then this is one way to learn. And whereas I know this podcast goes out to devotees all over the world, and someone in South America or someone in India, it's sort of a little more obvious, but in maybe another country like Poland may say, why should my child learn how to speak English? I would answer that everyone should know how to speak English. It's a global language. It's sort of ISKCON's language. It's an asset. When I was young, I learned French. I mean, generally in every school system, they teach a second language. To learn a second language is an asset. It's part of being cultured. In my family circle, there are many people who knew 3-4 languages. That was sort of standard. For instance, in Canada, Hungarian immigrants knew Hungarian, and they knew some French, and they had to learn English, and now you have to know all French if you're living in Quebec. And in addition to that, they probably all knew German because that was the second language in Hungary. And after the Russians came, then you add Russian to that, so it wasn't unusual that people would know 4 or 5 languages, and new people who knew 8 as well. So that's it's a good thing for children to learn English, and I recommend that devotees acquire these things. When you see it, you'll be amazed. It's certainly not the type of literature that, unfortunately, I was able to be educated with, and I would have learned English really fast that I had these books. And where to get that? Well, on the articles, I'll put the site. But an email address is info@mantralingua.com. Mantra and Lingua, like lingua.com. And since we're talking about children, let's answer a question from Kavi Chandra Das in London, Jamuna Devi Das's son. He asks, when I'm at home, I'm wanting to go to the temple and see the deities. When I get there, I love to see them, but normally I only stay there briefly as I don't feel the need to stay in the temple and take darshan for a long amount of time. I also prefer to chant my rounds outside the temple room instead of inside. Is this way of thinking offensive, and how can I increase my attachment to the deities? No, I think young people are by nature sort of restless, so if there's something not going on, like some kirtan going on in the temple room, they may come and take the darshan and then go. That's fine. Our business is to come and offer respects to the Lord, offer some prayer, and then we may go and do other things. When it comes to chanting rounds in front of the deities, of course, the atmosphere of the temple room is transcendental, very, very peaceful, and it's the best place to chant, because it doesn't, you can really focus on their lordships, and they're right there. You just look at them, and you say Hare Krishna, and there's Hare Krishna standing in front of you, Radha Gokulananda. But sometimes we're a little more restless. We want to be able to pace around. We want to be able to see some other things. It's not the quality of japa the devotee should maintain. But if it helps one in the beginning to concentrate further, then just do that. No harm. There are stages to advancing in Krishna consciousness, and we should stick at whatever particular stage we're at and then go from there bit by bit. How to increase one's attachment to their lordships? Doing service. That's always been my personal experience. When you render service to the deity, some type of personal service, obviously uninitiated devotees can't go on the altar, but they can mop the floor, they can grind sandalwood, perhaps they can make garlands. Those type of personal services to Radha Gokulananda, that actually increases our desire and appreciation for them, because it develops our relationship. And that's what we want to do. We're trying to develop a relationship with Krishna. That's what we're doing when we're chanting Hare Krishna. And that will naturally also increase our attachment for chanting. And then, of course, following the different instructions that Rupa Goswami gives, revealing one's mind to the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, coming to the temple with some kind of offering, some flower, by that I mean a floral type of flower, or little boga, some kind of fruit, patram, pushpam, palam toyam. The more we engage in service to the deity, the more our attachment to the deity grows. My Krishna consciousness, one of my great fortunes has been that almost from the very beginning that I got Brahmanical initiation, I remember being trained by the head pujari, Mother Urvasi, how to wake the deities, And then right after that, I went to Winnipeg. I ended up being the only Brahmin there for quite some while. So I was the one who was doing all the dressing of the deities. And then from that, it just continued. In Chicago, and when I came to the UK, Diana Tagore Hari, here Radhisham Sundar, and many of my friends and acquaintances, Govinda Maharaj, Jidunga Maharaj, they're very much into the direct worship of the Lord. I find that being a neophyte devotee, Srila Prabhupada in many, many places says that deity worship is compulsory for neophytes. So I find it something that's really compulsory in order to develop my own Krishna consciousness. And something that one can't help but emphasize too much. I know, for instance, in Bhaktivinoda Manor, many devotees living in the community around who aren't full-time devotees come, and they do service to the deities. They fit into the schedule, whether it's cooking or offering. I know my friend Vishwan, who is always there on the Sunday services, evening services, offering IT, and I think change the deities at night into their clothes. That's the type of service that as one does that more and more, he naturally becomes more and more attached to the deities. In fact, just yesterday, it brings to mind, I was writing about Madan Mohan, and I was citing Lord Kapila Dev, Pashyanti Devi, Pashyanti Ruchirani Amba, that verse, if you want to look it up. In the third canto, when he's speaking to his mother, and he talks about how the devotees see the deities with their eyes anointed with love, and how the devotee speaks to the Lord, and that the Lord speaks to the deities. And it's the whole, there's two verses there that are all about the interaction between the devotees and the deities. And then Srila Prabhupada, he writes really, really far out of the report. And he says that, of course, only advanced devotees are the ones who can speak with the deities, and we should not imitate that. But then Prabhupada goes to lengths to explain how even neophyte devotees, if they have faith in the lordships, if they absorb in seeing them, praying to them, serving them in some way, Prabhupada says that they come to a transcendental platform. Because he says they're on a spiritual platform while engaged like that. They may come off that spiritual platform when they're not. But while they're absorbed in that worship of the deity, they're on a spiritual platform. And then Lord Kapila Dev himself also says, but then Prabhupada explains that also, that he says that gradually, without noticing it, they come to the perfectional platform just by worshipping the deity. So, yes, the main thing is chanting Hare Krishna, but this wonderful aspect of worshipping the deity we shouldn't neglect. So, Kavi Chandra, you should keep that in mind and cultivate those, read those things that Lord Kapila Dev says. Cultivate your attachment for Radha Gokulananda. Gradually, gradually, you'll come to the perfectional platform, as Srila Prabhupada explains. Hare Krishna.